Welcome to the Set Apart Podcast. I'm your host, Abby Garcia, and I just wanted to let you know that I am genuinely so happy that you are here. And as the listener, you have been prayed over, and I am believing that the Lord is going to bring hope and healing to your heart through this podcast. We are believing for it, and that this is going to be a life-giving experience for you. Also, on another note, I do have my very first guest on the podcast. I'm super excited, and genuinely, you have no idea how honored I am to be sitting with you in my living room. It's Nicole Chaffee. Not only are you a campus pastor on staff at a church, you're a mentor to so many, you're a friend to so many, and I just value you so much. Your friendship in my life, it started out as a mentorship in 2018 through a campus ministry called Chi Alpha, and it has grown into just a beautiful, beautiful friendship that I value, and I do not take it lightly that you are my first guest on this podcast. So if you would, just tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, your family, all the things.
Yes, absolutely. I am so honored to get to be here on the first episode. I have been so excited for this moment and so excited for you ever since I met you in 2018, right?
Yep.
2018. I knew that you were truly set apart, and not to be like cheesy because it's the podcast, but like it was evident from the very first time I met you at B-Dubs. It was evident, you know, like I felt it, and it was like, wow, God has incredible things in store for you. And I have loved to just see your life. And I love that this podcast is a part of your ministry, which is so exciting. And I'm full of faith for what God is going to do through this podcast. And I'm excited for your life. And I'm just honored to get to be a part of it. And I'm just honored to get to call you friend and get to be here. So thank you. I wanted to say that first. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
And I do have the privilege of serving in a couple different capacities right now in ministry, getting to serve in Chi Alpha. This will be 10 years this year is getting to be a campus missionary. Yeah. It's flown. So a privilege of just getting to disciple university students. And you know, I mean, that was how we started out knowing each other.
On a secular college campus too. So it is not easy.
Yeah.
It is not easy, but I know that I have seen and I have been the fruit of your labor. Thank you. It's incredible what you do and just seeing you continuing to do that.
Thank you. It is difficult, but it's like so good. You know, it's one of those things that it's so important, and I'm just thankful for the opportunity to get to do it. And I get to serve as the assistant pastor at Bethel Church of Talmadge, and I love that. I love getting to work at our church. I love our church, and so I'm getting to do things with discipleship and assimilation. That's like my heartbeat, so I love that. I love working for my boss, Pastor Phil. And but more than any of that, honestly, my favorite ministry is my family, and I love my husband so much. We've been married; it'll be 8 years this summer, which is crazy. Time's flown, And so my husband Hayter is awesome, and we have a sweet little toddler, Huda. And so we have Huda and Judah,
the most beautiful little girl on the planet.
Thank you. She looks just like her dad, so I can't take much credit, honestly. But I think she's beautiful. She is inside and out. She is. She's my favorite gift. I tell her that a lot, and my favorite ministry is getting to be her mom. And so that feels like that defines me in this season. I feel like that I'm just very much in mom mode all the time. And I really want to have it any other way. So busy, but the good busy, you know. So.
Hey, you wear a lot of hats.
Yeah.
But you do it with so much grace.
Thank you.
Truly. And I know that there are moments where you're like, I'm a hot mess. But truly, truly, as somebody from an outside perspective, you do it so well.
Thank you.
You truly do. And you make people feel so seen and so loved. Loved. There is nobody that I have met that we have had conversation about you that has not been so good and all of the things that we love about you. So I just want to say that there's a lot that I love about you, truly. But one thing that I love about you that is so rare, so hard to come by, honestly, is how vulnerable you are, how real and how raw you are in your relationships. And I've seen that not just in leadership, which is huge, not just in mentorship, which is huge, but I have seen it in my friendship with you. I've seen it. I've seen you be that for other people. And just the authenticity that you have, where you are not scared to admit your flaws. truly. Yeah. And there have been moments where we have met up for discipleship and you're like, no, that was my fault.
Yeah.
Like, I owe you an apology. That was my fault. And I don't think I had ever actually experienced that before, especially from a mentor or someone in leadership position over me.
Yeah.
And so with that, I want to talk to you about how you became vulnerable, was this something that was always just a characteristic of yours, or was this something that was developed over time? Did you see it displayed to you? Give me that.
Yeah, that's such a good question. And I appreciate the encouragement so much because I love being vulnerable, but I know that sometimes it's not always well received. Yeah. So I appreciate so much the encouragement and just seeing me. I appreciate that so much. So,
and I just want to say that it doesn't come across as unloading all of your garbage onto somebody as their leader. It has truly come across as, oh, Nicole made a mistake. I can too. Nicole ran late to a meeting and chose to say that she's sorry.
Yeah,
I can too. And so it is out of a place of example rather than just, here's all of my garbage and to That's everybody. Good. Does that make sense?
It makes the world of sense. And I'm so glad it comes across that way because sometimes in my flusteredness, I'm like, I feel like I'm like unloading. So that's so good to know that it doesn't usually come across that way. So, well, in answer to your question, I wasn't always vulnerable. And I think back to my earliest kind of memories of being a Christian. I started following Jesus when I was in college, but I called myself a Christian before that. So I went to church starting around age 8. And I got baptized, you know, I was faithful in church, and I just don't feel like I was a very conscious Christian. I think I was a very, like, you know, Sunday Christian. There's a point to me explaining this. So when I was in high school was the first time that I started to understand that the chasm of who I was supposed to be as a Christian and who I am were insanely separate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And rather than leaning into Christ and accepting his work on the cross and feeling confident in my forgiveness and my right standing with him, I actually like spiraled the other way. And so I became a really works-based Christian, and to the point that like I would have articulated at that time, maybe not articulated, but I would have really been able to say like, I believed that God demanded perfection. And that was really difficult because I was so aware of how imperfect I am and I was. Yeah. And so that fleshed out in me trying to look like I was perfect to everyone around me. And even it's crazy because now I know so much different, but even to God, like I wanted to hide my flaws. I wanted to hide my sin. I wanted to just hide anything about myself that could be misinterpreted because I was so afraid of looking like a bad Christian. And so even though there were times, of course, where I was living in sin, there were times where I definitely was not acting like I was following Jesus. I wasn't following Jesus. I was calling myself a Christian though. It birthed in me this almost like double life. Where internally I was miserable because I knew how much I had fallen short, but I felt like I had this pressure to externally perform. And when I think about that, no one taught me that. I didn't, like, no one said you have to act like you're perfect. It was just this internalized feeling that I had where I felt like it's my responsibility to make sure that everyone thinks that I'm perfect.
Yeah.
And so I, in high school and even beginning in college, I wasn't vulnerable with anyone because wow. I was so afraid of being found out. I was so afraid of misleading someone and someone finding out that I wasn't this perfect Christian that they thought I was. Mm-hmm. And I felt constantly like I had so much pressure, and not from the Lord. I don't know where that pressure came from. It was internal. But I had so much pressure to try to convey that I was as close to perfect as they came, and not in a prideful way. I just was so afraid of misleading people. I was so afraid of just being found out. And so I wasn't willing to share anything with anyone that was any sort of a struggle. So it's really been in the last like 10, maybe 12 years that I've really tried to embrace being vulnerable as a strength and really opening myself up to just being real, yeah. You know, just telling it as it is and being willing to expose myself mm-hmm. emotionally in my flaws for the good of myself, but also other people.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I actually had no idea that you had struggled with it and that you actually were very closed off yeah. and not vulnerable with anybody. So that is so good
yeah.
to hear. Did you have a leader that had displayed that to you yeah. or did you make that decision on your own?
That's such a good question. So I did actually. So in high school, my pastor's name was Pastor Chuck, and he was kind of our high school chaplain in a way. I went to public high school, but he was known as like basically the high school pastor, right? He was so relational, and he was so just friendly and warm. That was really like off-putting in a good way. You know, I felt like he was approachable. So my mom and I started attending his church, Calvary. At the time, it was called Calvary Assembly of God. And I'll never forget on a Sunday morning, he stood there and he said in front of our congregation that, and I'm paraphrasing, but the message was, I didn't act like a Jesus follower this week. And I remember exactly the pew I was sitting in, and it like shook me to the core in the best way, where I was like, wait, he's not perfect. And I know this sounds really like immature thoughts for a high schooler, but this is where I was spiritually, where I was like, wait, he doesn't have it all together. And he just went on to share about his week and where he fell short of being like a representative of Christ. And I will never forget like the bondage that broke over me on that day, where I was like, wait, God loves him. God uses him. And he doesn't have it all together. So maybe me sitting here in this pew, like, it's okay if I'm not perfect. And his wife, her name's Susie, like modeled from leading worship every Sunday, and often she would weep. And I remember being so moved of like, you are being so vulnerable. You're not pretending like, and I don't know what was going on in her life, but she would sing to the Lord and she would cry. And I remember thinking like, this is your church. And you're willing to model that. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I wouldn't have been able to articulate it
right,
like that.
Right.
What it felt like to me was freedom. And that was the first time that I like consciously remember thinking like, I can let my guard down. Like maybe it's okay to be honest with myself that I'm never going to be perfect.
Yeah.
Maybe it's okay that even to people who are looking to me for, you know, advice or looking to me to be a friend or whatever, maybe it's okay if they find out that I don't have it all together. Yeah. You know, just like Pastor Chuck modeled to his congregation. I mean, he's a pastor. Mm-hmm. And I just remember being like, what? Like, that was incredible. And to him, it was just another Sunday. You know, it wasn't like he stopped the service to give this message. He was just being real. And that was the first time for me where I was like, whoa, I want to embrace that, you know?
Yeah. That is incredible. Yeah. And I, as you were talking, I was just thinking how vulnerable leadership produces vulnerable people.
Yeah.
And whether you are mentoring somebody or whether you are in a leadership position or just a parent,
yeah,
modeling vulnerability creates vulnerability.
Yeah.
And I know that even in our small groups, your vulnerability created and allowed people the space to be vulnerable. And it creates trust.
Yeah.
I think vulnerability creates trust in relationships. It doesn't have to be in a leadership role. It can be in all of your relationships, your marriage, as a parent, your friendships. And it allows the space to say, oh, they're willing to admit when they have flaws, because we all do.
Yeah.
I can now come and address things that either I have been struggling with, or hey, I'm flawed in this area, so I'm sorry in advance for not being perfect.
Yeah.
And it gives the space, because I think a lot of times what people do is they're like, oh, they seem to have it all together. Right. I'm going to pull back and never share what I'm going through, because if they have it all together, then what it feels like anyways is that there's just going to be judgment on me for actually dealing with stuff.
Absolutely.
And especially as followers of Jesus, to say, I don't have it all together.
Yeah.
Am I not holy? Am I not
right?
Does that mean? So
absolutely.
I just think that vulnerable people creates trust and vulnerability in your relationships, and not just in your relationships with people, but this is for our relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
Like, there is nothing hidden from Him.
Right.
And I know for me that there have been a lot of times where I thought something, I'm like, the Lord wouldn't want to know that. So let me just put this thought over here and come to Him. And and guess what? He knows if you don't trust Him.
Yes.
He knows if you think that he's not good enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knows.
Yeah.
And that's something that I still am working on in my relationship with the Lord and journeying with Him through is, God, you know if I don't fully trust you in this situation. So why not? Scripture talks about a man who says, God, I believe, but help my unbelief.
Absolutely.
And I pray that a lot because I'm like, to say that I 100% trust you in this situation, that's a lot.
Yeah.
I trust you.
Yes.
But I don't trust you all the way.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And how beautiful it is when we can understand vulnerability in relationships and how that benefits a relationship and how that builds trust, how it can in turn directly impact our relationship with the Lord when we are able to be real and raw and vulnerable with Him, because He sees it all.
Yeah.
He knows it all. Yeah. He knows our every thought.
Yeah.
And when we air it to Him, it's nothing new.
Absolutely.
It's nothing new to say, God, I'm mad at you. And I want to say, God is not surprised by your doubts.
Yeah.
He doesn't get angry when you're mad at Him. It's not wrong to be mad at God, but addressing that with Him so that He can speak life into you.
Yes.
It is, here, God, here's everything.
Right.
Why did you do this?
Right.
Why are you doing this? Are you doing this? You know, it is so powerful and so beautiful to be real and vulnerable with the Lord.
Yeah.
So how have you seen that in your relationship with the Lord?
Yeah.
And just how has He impacted you through being vulnerable with Him?
Absolutely. So I would say, I was sharing a little bit earlier, my relationship with the Lord was not built on vulnerability, and it mm-hmm. wasn't built on trust either. It was built on fear.
Yeah.
And not like reverent fear, but like, I'm terrified of you fear. Mm-hmm. And I would say, like, it was really until probably college that I stopped believing that God hated me. Like, we would sing songs about God's, you know, like he leaves the 99 for the one. And I remember thinking, like, God wouldn't leave the 99 for me. Like, I thought I was the exception to the rule. And I had no confidence in my standing with God because it was all based on me.
Yeah.
It was, and rightfully so. I shouldn't be confident if it's based on me, right? And so, like, I feel like I believed this counter gospel that totally factored Jesus out. And so when it came to being vulnerable with God, I was not, because even though cognitively I think I understood God knew everything about me, mm-hmm. I felt like I worked so hard to try to hide myself from myself and also from God. And I remember the first time that I realized that God knew everything about me. I was driving. I was in college. I was driving on our campus on Summit Street. And it was like this moment where, like, the heavens opened. And I felt like the Lord, in that time, I was not spiritually mature. So this wasn't like he downloaded this to me, but mm-hmm. he gave me an awareness of, like, I see you. I actually see you. I see the real you. I see the depths of you.
Yeah.
And I love you. Yeah. And it was like this blip moment where I was like, whoa. And I feel like I was spiritually awake for, like, the first time. And the joy that I felt in that moment of, like, I don't have to hide anymore, you know, was crazy. Where it was the start of something. And again, this is like over 10 years into calling myself a Christian. And there was a lot of undoing that had to happen because I had built so many unhealthy thought patterns and life patterns that like the trust came like inch by inch, you know, where it was like, okay, it's okay if I'm honest and I tell you, like, I don't trust you in this. Or I will never forget the first time that I told the Lord, I read something in scripture and I didn't understand it. And I said to him, God, I'm reading this. I want to understand you.
Mm-hmm.
And if I understand correctly what I'm reading, I don't like it.
Yeah.
And I understand that if I don't like it, I need to submit to you anyway. So I want to do that. But would you be so kind to give me understanding? Okay. Like, this was right before Mother's Day. And my mom lived out of town at the time, 3 hours away. And so to visit her, I went to her church on Mother's Day. And the verse was about the woman who comes to Jesus and is asking for his help. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm not here, you know, for you right now, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, and she says, well, like, don't the dogs even get the scraps, right? And I remember thinking, like, I said to the Lord, I don't like this. Mm-hmm. I don't like what you said, because I don't understand it.
Yeah.
So we go on Mother's Day service. And would you not believe that, like, the Mother's Day service was about this verse? And I have been in Mother's Day services for like 20 years. No one has ever preached that verse, right? No one. And I was like, and I remember sitting there and being like, God, you honored me. Mm-hmm. You could have been angry with me for questioning you, but you saw me and you honored my ask in the most undeniable way of preaching about that verse on Mother's Day. Like, you know, and I noticed that in scripture. I love what you were saying, because, like, God isn't afraid of our questions, but I love that in scripture, like, Jesus doesn't rebuke the question askers. Like, the disciples say, teach us how to pray. And if it were me, I'd be like, you guys have been with me. You've been watching me pray. Why haven't you been taking notes? Why do you not get with the program? I have so much limited time and you're asking me about elementary things.
Yeah.
That would have been my response.
And when he spoke in parables, they're like, I don't get it.
Right? I love the verse when the disciples are like, do you think he's, like, still talking about the bread? You know, like, and I love that. Yeah. Like, because that's me. Or when, like, I think, I forget who it was at this moment, but I think it was Nicodemus, where he's like, how do I get born again? Like, surely I can't crawl back in my mom's womb. Like, yeah. And that's a genuine question. Like, and I'm like, I love that Jesus didn't say, like, you know what? Forget you for asking. Like, you're out. Game over for you. Yeah. Like, get to the back of the line. There's someone to replace you. Like, I love that, like, the Lord met them with compassion. And I love that it's like the disciples say, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And then he doesn't. He doesn't, like, shame them for asking.
Yeah.
And that was huge for me, you know, where now in my faith, I have grown. I'm 30. And I would say, as of recent, is like my most vulnerable times with the Lord, where I'm like, I'm going to try, like, and it's not even a cognitive thing. I think of, hey, I can't share this with the Lord, but feeling shame about how I feel and trying to change it to be less shameful, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, maybe it's not that I don't trust God. Maybe I'm just, and it's like, no, let's just call it for what it is.
Yeah.
I am not trusting God in this situation.
Yeah.
And so let's just bring it out and let's let the Lord handle it. Yeah. You know, let's let him know that I know what he already knows. Right. You know what I mean? Instead of trying to work through it without Jesus. And I think that's been the big thing for me is I tried to, like, trust Jesus without knowing him. And I don't remember who taught me this, but it's like, first you come to know Jesus, and then you come to love him, and then you come to trust him.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard to love someone you don't know.
Yeah.
It's really hard to trust someone you don't love.
Yeah.
And so for me, I feel like the Lord has been so gracious to allowing me space and time to figure it out.
Yeah.
Because I've been attending church regularly since I'm 8. I'm 30. So by all earthly accounts, I should have it figured out by now. You know, like in my mind, I should be in a way different space than I am. But it's like the Lord is gracious. And I don't feel like God has ever rushed me into trusting him, or he's ever rushed me to be vulnerable past what I knew, or he's never exploited my vulnerability.
Yeah.
And I think that's huge for me of like, God, thank you for your patience in this. And so I would say, like, I'm still growing in my vulnerability with the Lord because I'm still growing in my vulnerability with myself. And that's like a huge thing because after all those years of hiding, my default is to hide. And I think even about the garden, right?
Yeah.
Adam and Eve, their default wasn't to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Their default was to hide. And I think that that's who we are because I think that the devil loves when we hide. He loves when we hide our sin. He loves when we hide our doubts. He loves when we hide because it distances us, so we think, from the Lord, right? Yeah. Where we are putting up a wall.
Yeah.
And so I think that the devil loves that, you know? And so for me, it's taken years to undo the years of practice, habits, and thoughts that led me into a place of, you know, isolation.
Yeah. So good. So good. And I just think that even though we are fully known by God, feeling like we're not fully known is always going to hinder our relationship with him.
So good.
So that is why the enemy is so for us, saying, I can't share with him this. These sin issues are going to stay over here. Because when we feel fully known by God, not just we are fully known by him, but when we are vulnerable before the Lord, our relationship flourishes.
Yeah.
And I see it in marriage. Marriage is I mean, I have only been married for 2.5 almost years.
Amazing.
And I have seen that in the 2.5 years, our relationship has grown. Our love for one another has grown so much, not because it has all looked perfect at all, but actually the moments where I feel the closest to my husband is when we go through something.
Yeah.
We have a, let's sit down and talk about this.
Yeah.
And I may not like what he has to say. He may not like what I have to say, but at the end of it, at the end of our conversation, I feel closer to him than I did before the conversation.
Okay.
And I see that in my relationship with the Lord, that the more that we have these hey, I need to sit down and talk to you, and it may not look beautiful.
Right.
I may have to address some concerns or some things or questions
yeah.
that I have, but at the end of it, I feel closer to him.
Absolutely.
So I remember just a few days ago, I was actually praying over the podcast, and I was getting ready, and I'm like, God, please just be in it. Like, yeah. please be here with me. Please speak through me. And I remember feeling like I was almost begging for him to be there with me and be there for me. And he spoke something very simple, not like super revolutionary, but he said, girl, I delight in you. I'm there.
So
and
good.
I remember your text to me actually a few days before that, you were like, unless I'm unconscious, I'm there.
It's true.
And it's
so
like,
true.
This is just a friendship.
Yep.
And you're like, I got you. I'm there. Unless I'm unconscious, I'm there.
Yeah.
How much more do we think that the Lord is like, I'm there. I have called you to this. Why wouldn't I be there for you?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I have your back? And I mean, I don't understand why. I get it because I'm there too. I don't understand why we feel like he, if we are vulnerable with him, that he's just going to judge us and condemn us to hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
He delights in our vulnerability. He's like, thank you for being open and honest. And now we can grow closer together because you have been.
Right.
So I think that that is beautiful. And I know that we both are still walking in this. We're not perfect at this by any means. And with that, I just want to say, do you ever struggle with it today? And specifically in, now I will say, just overall relationships, but have you struggled with it in leading other people? And when you have been vulnerable, have you regretted it or thought, are they even going to trust me because I shared this flaw with them?
That's such a good question. So I do still struggle with vulnerability to this day. And something that I feel like the Lord has kind of been speaking to me kind of starting in December and continuing on is that like, this is the time in life where I just do things afraid. And I think even to your point about like why sometimes we feel like it's hard to trust God with our vulnerability is because I think that unfortunately either we or someone we know has had their vulnerability exploited by someone they trusted here on earth.
Yeah.
And I know I have, right? And so, and even, like, I hate to say this, but, like, even in the church or even with Christians, right? And so you think that you're in a safe relationship and you share something and then you find out, right, that it got back to you. And I love that even, like, in the Bible, right, women are told to, like, not talk and be gossipers, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, this is still, like, so prevalent how many years later, right?
Yeah.
And so I would say I struggle with being vulnerable a lot, but I've seen the fruit of my obedience in that. And so I'm going to keep doing it afraid because it's like kind of like Paul where I'm like, I'll delight in my weakness so that Christ be glorified. Because when I look at my life, like my insecurities, my past, my sin, my failure, my disobedience should all disqualify me from serving God, but yet because of God,
right,
like I get to be here. And so when I share about those things, it's not to give my mental health glory. Mm-hmm. It's not to give my past glory. It's to give God glory that despite my choices and what has even happened to me, right? Like God can still have be brought glory through my life, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that it's important. Something that I think about is like appropriate vulnerability in different settings, right? Because we don't trust everyone, right? We don't go somewhere and hand a stranger our keys and trust them with our car, right? And so in the same way, like with my story or with what I'm experiencing or walking through, I think there's wisdom and discernment in the level of vulnerability, right? But I do still struggle with that. And, but I think that the risk of being vulnerable is way better than the consequence of being closed off.
Yeah.
And I do wonder what people think about me when I share. I love talking about mental health and my struggles with mental health. And so anytime I get an opportunity to, which has been in a couple like of our Chi Alpha conferences, I share my story. Mm-hmm. I share that I'm on medication. I share all these things that for some reason feel a little shameful, even though they're not, they shouldn't be, right?
Yeah.
And I think like, will someone not trust me because of this?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a fair question. And you know what? There may be someone who thinks to themselves, I don't know if like I want to follow her because she doesn't seem to have it all put together. But I would challenge that thought, not because of who I am personally, but I would challenge that like everyone has got some stuff, some junk.
Yeah,
it's just different for everybody. Mm-hmm. So yeah, maybe your mental health's intact, but maybe, you know, there's something else going on. And I don't like wish that on anyone, but I'm just going to say we're human. And so, like, the leader that you may think is, like, you may think has it all together, I would challenge that you just don't know them well enough.
Yeah.
Like, celebrity pastors, God bless them.
Mm-hmm.
God really bless them. But you probably, like, don't know them well enough because you'll never get in 10 feet of them unless you're on a meet and greet.
Yeah, yeah.
To know what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And they have an image and a business to uphold. That it's not wise on them to be more than surface level vulnerable.
Yeah.
Other than with, you know, maybe they're in a, I hope that they're being, you know, discipled and have friends. And of course, like, yes, I'm not saying that they're not vulnerable. I don't know them. I'm just speaking hypothetically, right? But I would just say that like everybody's got stuff.
Yeah.
And how we choose to use that will be whether or not we bring glory to God with it or not, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when I think about, sharing stuff that's going on, when we had a really hard patch in our marriage, when I had really bad postpartum depression, when I've had mental health struggles my whole life, when I had terrible theology growing up, right? Like, it feels uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I would also say, like, in life, we all choose what risks we take.
Mm-hmm.
And life is a risk. Like, honestly, being vulnerable is a risk. Yeah, someone might use it against you. Yeah, someone might discredit your ministry because they think you don't have it together enough. Yeah, right? But like, what other risks do you take and not even think about it, right? Like me driving here was a risk.
Yeah.
But it was worth the risk to drive here
mm-hmm.
because I believe in what God wants to do here, right? Yeah. So like, is it like, do we count it a worthy risk to be willing to share our lives with people that need to know that, like Pastor Chuck, right? You can be a pastor of a church and have some off days. And you can be a pastor or someone who loves Jesus and be battling your mental health.
Yeah.
You can be someone who loves Jesus and loves being a mom and yet deals with postpartum so bad that it clouds reality, right? You can, I mean, we could go on for days, mm-hmm. I mean, months probably, of all the things that it's like, people need to know this, you know? And so I think my motto for this year, at least, is like, I'm going to do it afraid. Like, I'm going to share. I'm going to be real. Yeah. And if it comes back to bite me in the butt, like, that'll be unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
But if my goal is to bring glory to God, I'm going to trust that if I feel prompted by the Lord to share something, and I'm going to walk in obedience of that and trust that God will be glorified. And you know what? There's always going to be haters. Like, that's the reality, right? Like, I read in a book somewhere, I forget, like, the quote, but it said, like, if you're doing things right, you'll always have mixed reviews. Like, Jesus had mixed reviews, right?
Yeah.
The Pharisees were out to get him, and the disciples loved him, like, in his earthly ministry. And so it's like, if you're doing it right, it doesn't mean everyone's always going to be like, applause, like, give me more of that, you know? It means that you're going to have mixed reviews. And so I can't become attached to people's opinions of me. I can only, like, hope that I'm being obedient to what the Lord wants for me, you know?
Yeah. So good. So good. I fully believe that I love what you said about the pros of being vulnerable and being real yeah, there may be people who don't like it and want to run to somebody who has it all together, but yeah. the majority of people are going to be able to open up when yeah. they see vulnerability. Yes. And there are probably going to be some. I think that a big reason why a lot of people struggle to be authentic and real in relationships, in leadership, and all of the things is because of the opinion of what other people think.
For sure.
And it doesn't, it's not getting easier.
No.
The comparison game is so real, and it is so hard to be real in your vulnerable self of making mistakes. Like, even as a mom, oh my goodness, the amount of moms,
yeah,
I love you all, but who have all of the toys yeah. that look completely beige and yeah. go with the aesthetic of the home. Yes. Like, my kids' toys are colorful and yeah. there's lots of light
yep.
and lots of music. Okay. Yep. And I mean, the post of even I have fallen into it of what my kid is eating. I'm like, I cut it up and throw it on yeah. his, like, I don't have it on a plate because guess what? The plate's going to be picked up and dumped yes. in the floor. Like, that's the yes. reality. But because of what we see, they look like they have it all together as a mom. Therefore, I can't post that my son's food is all over the floor and my dog's eating it all because this is what I see. Right. Therefore, I feel like I can't be real
yeah.
and this is the reality of my life. Yeah. The reality is that my living room has toys all over it most of the time yeah. and it's pointless to clean it all up because it's all coming back yeah, out
for the next day,
you know? Yeah. But not only that, but also in just the, I fall victim to it a lot, is what are they going to think?
Yes.
If I open up and share that I'm feeling these insecurities, what are they going to think? Are they no longer going to think that I'm a confident woman of God because I have these insecurities? There is so much of it. I yeah. see it all the time. That's why I say, and I said from the beginning, that it's so rare to come by. But if we can choose.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a choice.
It is.
If we can choose to be vulnerable before the Lord.
Yeah.
If we can choose to be vulnerable in our relationships with one another.
Yeah.
How they will flourish,
absolutely.
How they will grow. That is why so many people have such surface level relationships.
Yes.
I mean, there have been so many times where we'll invite somebody into our home and it doesn't go much deeper yeah. than just the updates on life.
Right, right, right.
And I think that people are genuinely scared.
Yeah.
To be real
yeah.
and vulnerable because I came over here and your house was perfectly clean.
Right.
Or, and it's not wrong to clean your house before people
right.
come over.
Right.
But you look like you have it all together. Your kid's not throwing a fit and mine's probably going to throw a fit.
Yeah. That's so funny because last time I came over with my kid, through such a fit, she had a nosebleed and bled all over your towel.
We love it. And I right. know that you were like, I'm so sorry. Yeah. I'm so sorry. But it's like, this is what doing yeah. life together really looks like.
Yeah.
It looks like, okay, we want to have an adult conversation. Let's throw up Frozen 2. <Yeah. laughs> Like that.
And one.
That's like, the reality. And that is what it looks like to have real relationships
yes.
with people.
Yeah.
And how I value our friendship because yeah. we can be real. And I know now if I bring my kid over to your house yeah. and he throws a tantrum, I'm not being judged
no.
and I gotta go. And
right.
I'm sorry that his toys are everywhere and
no.
all the things because we are modeling it to each other.
Yes.
And then our relationship grows and can take off. And that's the same
yeah.
with our relationship with the Lord. I truly believe it.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
You're so right.
Yeah. So how also on the topic of vulnerability and how, honestly, how I feel like you have really modeled it for a lot of people, truly. How does that look in your marriage? How does that look now that you have a little girl and her watching you as mommy say, I'm sorry, I missed the mark on this. What does that look like for you? And also just in your ministries as well.
Yeah, it's such a good question. I think, honestly, I still fight that desire to look like I have it all together to my spouse, to my kid, and to those I minister to. You know, just to be real. It, honestly, it never really tastes good to have to eat humble pie.
Right.
You know, like it's always bitter. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's the sweet aftertaste of reconciliation, but it like never feels good. I think until there's that freedom afterwards that you get to walk in being reconciled after you're vulnerable. Yeah. Right. So it's in my marriage, the way that like vulnerability plays out for us is that we work really hard to quickly confess our sins to one another. And there have been times where I've sinned against my husband through action, through thought, through things that I said to him or about him, where, like, for me, it's like, I want to clear this up as soon as possible. And so I first, like, repent to the Lord, right? And I'm like, God, I know, like, this wasn't right. This wasn't of you. And then it goes to my husband. And I think what is important in healthy relationships is mutual vulnerability. Because if one person is demanding vulnerability and the other's not willing to be vulnerable, then that leads way to abuse, honestly, right? And so my husband models this in the same way. When he knows that he's made a decision or has said something or thought something that is not honoring to me, he does the same thing. So I think for us, it looks like being quick to confess.
Yeah.
But then there's also the opportunity that we have to be honorable when each other confesses sin.
Yeah.
Or have to be honorable. Maybe it's not even sin, but when one of us is vulnerable with the other about how we're feeling or what we're thinking, because I think as being a parent of a young person, right, it's so easy to compare. And so if my husband's being vulnerable and saying, like, I'm tired, my knee-jerk flesh reaction is, you don't even know tired, okay? Yeah. Like, you were not up last night, you know? Like, you don't even know, right? And so I have to honor his vulnerability instead of comparing what I'm feeling but not sharing,
right?
And so it's not a game. It's not comparison. It's not a competition. And so I think vulnerability, it takes so much intentionality on the receiving and the sharing side. And also not shutting down when you're vulnerable and your spouse isn't in a place to receive what you're trying to say at that moment. I think it's important to be wise in the time of what you're sharing, right? And I learned that because when I was first married, I would have a list of everything I wanted to tell my husband the moment he came in the door. And he's the type of person, like, he needs to decompress a little bit. Yeah. And I'm the type of person, like, I decompress by verbally processing. And he's like, I mean, I remember, like, the deer in the headlights. Like, he's trying so hard to listen, but he's not able to give me something because he himself is, like, not ready to receive.
Right.
So I think there's wisdom in that timing, right? So whether it's, like, you know, just how you're feeling and that kind of stuff. And so I think the moment that we stop being vulnerable with our spouse, which is so easy to do, because we confess our hurt, we confess our unforgiveness, and I'm speaking from experience, right? Where it's like, I've thought to myself, like, I'll just tell my therapist, you know, like, you know, like, add it to my notes of things to tell her, you know? And it's like, no, this is an issue I need to talk through with my spouse. I need to be vulnerable, you know, in my husband does a good job of honoring that vulnerability. And so I hope that he could say the same about me. Yeah. I'm not perfect. He's not perfect, but it's like we're working on it. With my daughter, I love, so she has learned to apologize. And I think that, like, she's hopefully learned that from us modeling it to her. But I figured out what she was saying. So she's 2.5. So half the time you just nod and hope for the best, right? And so she says, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. And I thought she was saying, sorry, me too. Because she was, you know, so she says, sorry, I didn't mean to. Even when she does, last night she wouldn't stop hitting me. We were laying in bed and she kept decking me. I mean, I'm watching her wind up and deck me. And she'd be like, sorry, didn't mean to. And I'm like, you're not, you know, so like it does backfire a little bit, right? Yeah. But she does apologize. And there have been times where I've lost my cool with her, where I set her, my favorite time, I set her on the bed and I knew I shouldn't have done it. Mm-hmm. She flips backward off the bed, cracks her head on the floor, right? And I'm like, I am so sorry. I made an irresponsible decision and like it hurt you. And I'm genuinely like, I'm grieved over my actions. And I'm so sorry, you know? Yeah. And I hope that by modeling to her that as a 2.5-year-old, like, yeah, she's 2.5. So sometimes it's not serious. Like, she's not genuine when she says sorry. But like, I can tell when she understands, she processes like I've wronged someone on accident or on purpose. And like, I need to make it right. And then when she apologizes, like, to me, I say, like, I forgive you, because I want her to understand that, like, I really do. And maybe it's, like, too early, but I don't think so, you know? Right. And same thing, like, I want her, like, I ask her, like, do you forgive me for, like, when I've wronged you, you know? Because I think it's so important that as she grows up, yeah, she's 2.5 now, but as she grows up, like, I want her to understand that, like, I don't always make the right decision. And even though I try, right? Sometimes I'm just like being irresponsible, right? Sometimes I really like just it was an accident, but I want her to know that like genuinely, just because I'm her mom, I don't want her to feel like I can do no wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that like that, my hope is that that will teach her that in whatever spaces she's in her life, that she can fill in that blank. Just because I'm blank doesn't mean that I can't do any wrong,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so that's with my good. Students that like I minister to, I would say it's the same thing, where being a mom, being pregnant, I think more than anything, like I had so much to apologize for because I dropped the ball a lot.
Yeah.
I would have meetings set and I would be in my house throwing up with no end in sight, because I was so pregnant and I was so morning sick.
Yeah.
And I canceled all the time on people that I care about. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to make sure that I conveyed to them, hey, like, I am genuinely sorry. I don't take it lightly that I had a commitment with you and I dropped that ball,
yeah,
you know, and I wish I could fix it. And I think that like being vulnerable in that way has allowed me the space to even like receive God's grace in greater ways, because I can't make up for all of the errors that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
I can't reschedule a meeting for every meeting that I've canceled. I can't, you know what I mean? Yeah. I can't do enough good to outweigh my bad.
Right,
like
right.
It doesn't work like that. Right. And so I think on the other side of vulnerability, like I make it a point that I try to let the students know, like, it's okay if you are struggling with X, Y, and Z, because like there's hope for you. And so I model that, I hope, appropriately by sharing glimpses into my story. Mm-hmm. Like going to the psychologist and taking mental health medication has been a part of my story and it still is.
Yeah.
And so I'm quick to share that,
yeah,
because I'm like, I want you to understand you can love God fiercely and you can trust God fiercely and you can have chemicals in your brain that aren't working. And we don't shame diabetics for taking insulin.
Right.
So let's not shame ourselves when that's we good. Need help. That's you know good. What I mean? Yeah. Just things like that free people from shame.
Yeah.
Because like I think that is such, I know we already kind of talked about it, but I just think Christians live in unnecessary shame because of the unwillingness to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because when you realize we're all in it together, number one. Number two, yeah, like the accountability, healthy accountability in a gospel community, like it brings freedom,
yeah,
right? When somebody is like, hey, I'm going to help you keep your sights set on Christ, when it's so tempting to be internal and beat yourself up and come to a place where you hate yourself, mm-hmm, you know, like let's look to Christ. Let's bring this to Christ. Like you need that, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I think about in the book of James, when it's like, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. And there's
Like, I can think of times in my life where I have confessed my sin to people that mentored me, that loved me, and I received the freedom of Christ in that, yeah. where I wasn't sick with shame anymore.
Right.
Because I understood I brought it out in the light. I gave it to the Lord, and I had someone to walk me through when it's so tempting to go back in your shell.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I love it. And one thing that I love that you touched on is our response to vulnerability. And how if we want somebody to be vulnerable to us, the way that we respond matters.
Yeah.
So in a marriage, if my husband wants to address even a flaw of mine,
yeah.
to feel like, oh, he hates me and now yeah. I'm insecure, and
yeah.
to feel that and to express that to him communicates, oh, I'm not going to tell her when I think this flaw again, because yeah. I don't want her to feel this way. And I think we feel that a lot of times with people that we
yeah.
really love and value, that, oh, I've called something out in you and I've been vulnerable to you and it wasn't received well. So next time that there's any issue at all, I'm going to hold back. And yeah. then it creates relationships without vulnerability.
Exactly.
So I love that. And a quote that I could not tell you who said it, but I remember that if you are always the one that's right, then they will always be the loser. They will wow. always be the one that's wrong.
Yep.
And that has completely changed
wow.
my perspective on how I even go about vulnerable
yeah.
relationships
yes.
and conversations.
Yeah.
And okay, if I am just wanting to make sure that my point is heard,
yeah.
that I'm being vulnerable to them about how I feel, but I don't care to hear them in return, yes. then I'm okay with my husband always being the loser. I'm okay with him always being wrong.
Yeah.
And another thing is just that this was probably freshman year of college. So this was several years ago, but I remember you telling me something that there was somebody who had hurt you or no, that you had hurt.
Yeah.
Okay. And they came to you, and I don't know how long it had been, but they wanted to meet with you or you wanted to meet with them. And they addressed the thing that hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
You maybe not necessarily thought that it was wrong
yeah.
or that they didn't understand your intention.
Yeah.
But you said, but I hurt them.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
what I did hurt them.
Yeah.
And regardless of what I did, you're a hurting person,
right.
and I'm sorry for that. Right. I'm sorry that I hurt you. It doesn't matter. I don't have to always defend, and explain things.
Yeah.
But truly, like, I'm sorry because in my actions, I hurt you.
Yeah.
So I love that
yeah.
so much. And even
yeah.
just you talking about your daughter, I'm not there yet, but I love just the teaching at an early age. I truly don't think that it's too early
yeah.
to be able to. She may not fully understand
yeah.
exactly what you mean. Like, there
right.
may be some,
right.
you know, hitting
yeah.
me and saying that I'm sorry for it stuff. But
yeah.
I fully believe that in that you modeling that at such a young age that, I mean, we need to be modeling
yeah.
it, you know, as yeah. to our kids. And so I
yeah.
love that.
Yeah, I love that. And I think I love that. I don't even remember that story that you brought up.
Wow.
I'm like, because I feel like
it has been like,
it's a long
something
time.
That I use a lot.
That's
so
amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. I think something that I've learned in that, and I've grown a lot in that,
mm-hmm.
because I used to be the person that if someone told me, and I'm so sorry, like if you're watching this and this was you, right? But I used to be the kind of person that, number one, and this is still my default, right? Like, I hate that, but that's the truth, right?
Yeah.
Where if you tell me like I hurt you, my first thought is, let me explain to you why I didn't mean that, right?
I think that's all of ours.
Okay, that's good to know.
I will say, I think that it is very easy, and it doesn't mean that you can't ever explain yourself.
That's so good.
And to explain the situation so that they understand, because there are so many times where I'm like, oh, I just didn't understand. I misinterpreted that situation, and we're good, you
know? Absolutely. And I think, obviously, we read life through our experiences, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, there's always times where I think we've got to have grace on ourselves of, like, yeah, maybe I misread into that, especially with texting, right? Yeah. And, like, or, yeah, maybe I just, like, didn't see it. I wasn't believing the best about that person. But I learned that, I think, somewhere along the line, I was taught, like to say the phrase, like, oh, I'm sorry that you feel that way. And I think that that is like the most degrading phrase ever. Mm-hmm. And I've tried really hard to stop saying that because it displaces responsibility.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, sorry you took it that way. Or like, sorry that you feel that way. Instead of like, no, these are the facts. And like, I'm sorry that my actions hurt you. Even if my actions were not intended to do that. And even if I think that like you're mischaracterizing me. And I think you're absolutely right. I think in a healthy relationship, there should be an opportunity of like, may I share with you my perspective? And regardless, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But can I share with you where my heart was in this? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And something I learned recently too, and I think that this speaks to vulnerability in relationships, is like, it's okay if you don't have a response on the spot. Like, if someone has wronged me, like, I'm not going to be fake and be like, oh, I forgive you. You know what I mean? If I'm not there yet. And I think that that was really scary for me. I learned this in therapy where I was like, and I know, I remember telling my psychologist, like, I know I need to forgive them. But, and she was like, can we pause on the forgiveness? And that felt very like unbiblical. It felt very whatever. But I think that there's a value in saying, hey, me processing and truly and authentically forgiving you is better than me lying to your face and saying I forgive you and then harboring bitterness against you. It is way better for me to say, hey, thank you for that apology. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to work on processing and forgiving you.
Yeah.
You've got my commitment that I'm working on it.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet, but I'm working on it, right? Because I think that sometimes like vulnerability isn't always polite. And I think that that's hard, you know, where it's like, I can still be kind and I can still be nice and I can still be cordial. But I think we think of polite responses of like, oh, how are you? I'm good. How are you? Oh, sorry. Oh, it's okay. You know, like, especially in the Midwest, like, oh, my bad. You know what I mean? Like, we're so quick to try to resolve, even if it's just surface level resolving. And I think to be authentic and to be vulnerable is to be willing to say like, I am struggling to forgive you.
Yeah.
And I'm working on it, you know, and like, and, or even on the flip side of like, I want to offer you an apology that is heartfelt and real. I need time to process what you've said to me. And I want to meet with you again so that I can share like what I've learned from talking to you and really give you an apology that is sincere. Yeah. But right now I'm just processing, you know what I mean? I think there's so much value in the pause that in our culture, like we don't emphasize because we just want that quick resolution or we don't even like, we don't work to even get to the point where we have those hard conversations, you know, it's just so surface level.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. So just to wrap up.
Yeah.
What would you say to maybe someone who is listening, who maybe is struggling to be vulnerable, to be real? They've never, you may be listening and maybe you have never actually had a real authentic relationship. What would you say to those who struggle, maybe due to comparison or the fear of what others may think? And then also, just some encouragement for those who may be struggling with vulnerability in their relationship with the Lord.
That's so good. So I would say, like, I think that there's freedom in knowing that pretty much everyone on earth, I think, struggles in this way.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
most people that I know, if not everyone, like somewhere there is a fear about what people think about them.
Find comfort in knowing that we're with you.
Yes.
All followers of Jesus, we're all in this together. Yes. There's no one that has it all together. We're all on this journey together.
Yes, absolutely. And I think take comfort in scripture, because I love that as God inspired the writers of scripture through his Holy Spirit, he never said, edit that part out.
Right.
Edit out the, I believe, but help my unbelief. Yeah. Edit out the, how can I crawl back in my mother's womb? Edit out the,
so good.
You know
so
what
good.
I mean? Yeah. Edit out the, I want to dies. You know what I mean? Like, edit, like, God didn't edit that out. And mm-hmm. and we see how God honored vulnerability. So I think the first and most important thing is to be vulnerable with God. And I think that starts with being vulnerable with yourself mm-hmm. and saying, if I'm honest and I admit I don't have it all together, I am a sinner in need of a savior, right? I make choices and think things and do actions that do not please God sometimes. I got to admit that.
Yeah. And if you are real with yourself, that you have flaws, you have things that you need to work on. If you don't believe that,
yeah,
then what did Jesus come for?
That's such a good point.
Yeah. Why would he come? Why would God send his son
right.
for you if you had it all together, absolutely. If you had nothing that you needed to work on?
Absolutely. And that is like so crucial,
right?
And with that, as you acknowledge like your deficiency, understanding that like it's not on you to make up for that deficiency. All you need to do is submit yourself to Christ and understand that like his righteousness becomes your righteousness, right? And so that I think is an amazing, humbling experience to say like, I am incapable of making myself right before God without Jesus Christ. And no matter how hard I try.
Yeah. And he can't work on anything that we're not willing to admit is an issue for us. So if I need help with feeling more secure and confident in who I am, he can't help me with it if I'm not willing to say, there's days where I'm major insecure. God, help me to feel more secure and confident.
It's so good. And I think that like, that's something I love about the Lord is like, he's a gentleman,
you know?
Yeah. And so I love that he's patient with us to reveal things to us and allow us to understand things in time. Because I think we would be crushed if God just like put down a screen and said, watch all the ways that you fall short. I would be crushed. I mean, you would be crushed. And so I think that vulnerability starts with saying, God, I believe that you are who you say you are and that I am who you say I am. And so you say you know me fully and completely and you love me. Like, and you are able and willing to forgive anything about who I am and what I've done.
Yeah.
And so I submit that to you today and tomorrow and every day after that, right? Like living in the freedom of Christ. And then I think when we've got that piece started, right, we can start being vulnerable with ourselves and saying, okay, I'm going to acknowledge to myself when I have messed it up, when I am falling short, when it doesn't even have to be sin, right? Just the reality of like, this is how I feel.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. And then I think that there's value in praying and finding someone to be trusted with your real self. Mm-hmm. And not that you have a fake self that you put on for the world, but I think it's unwise to broadcast the depths of yourself to people who don't know how to steward it or have malicious intent, because we live in a fallen world where people do have malicious intent.
Yeah.
That's the reality.
Yeah.
Right. And so this isn't a fail-safe guarantee that you'll never be hurt by someone that you trust.
Yeah.
And I think it's, a risk worth taking, because the love that you experience in the depth of a vulnerable relationship with a friend or a mentor or a spouse will far outweigh the risk and even the reality of being burned by someone that you trust. Because I think there's a quote that like good leaders walk with a limp.
Where the reality is like,
that's so good.
Everyone I know in leadership has been burned by someone that they loved and that they trusted, right? And unfortunately, it's not exempt. Christians aren't exempt, right? Like, pastors lead with a limp. And I guarantee you, any leader, right, even in Christian circles, can tell you, I invested in this person.
Yeah.
And they are the last person that I thought would stab me in the back. Jesus had Judas, right? Like, and what was Jesus's response to Judas? Jesus didn't know, Jesus, knowing that Judas would betray him, didn't say, you know what? The risk of Judas betraying me is too great. So I'm not going to call any disciples. Yeah. I'm not going to have any authentic relationships because I don't want to get hurt.
Yeah.
Right? He fully knew and entered in, even with Judas, a relationship. And yet, like, knew Judas was going to betray him. But the love that he gave was worth even the betrayal that he experienced. It wasn't rhetorical. Like, it was true, you know? And so I think for us, like, there was a quote, and I heard it, and I don't remember from where, but it was like, we're never justified in letting our wounds fester. Because Jesus himself, right? Like, he had more than anyone here in our world could, like, experience. He experienced the ultimate betrayal.
Yeah.
The ultimate wounds. And if anyone got to play that card, if anyone got to say, you know what? The risk of loving is too great. I'm going to wall myself off, whatever, right? Like, if anyone got to play that card, it would be Jesus Christ himself. Mm-hmm. And he chose, after he was betrayed, right, to go hang naked on a cross. Like the ultimate vulnerability.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So if Jesus doesn't play that card, I don't get to play that card.
Yeah.
Even when I want to, right? Like, I don't get to be justified in my hurt. I have to walk with a limp, and I'm still walking, right? Like, you know, and I think, like, my encouragement would be willing to take the risk, because if you're honest with yourself, you take risks relationally in other ways. And so sometimes I think, I don't know if this might be a little much to say, but I think I'm just going to say it.
Okay.
I think sometimes in Christian communities, and I've done this myself, I'm speaking from experience, right? We over-spiritualize things that we don't want to do.
Yeah.
So, like, if your family says, we're going on a vacation to Mexico, 100% you don't pray about that.
No.
100%.
No.
You're not like, God, is it your will for me to go on a 2-week all-inclusive vacation to Mexico?
No.
But if your pastor says to you, like, do you want to go on a mission trip to Mexico? Right? We get all weird. Yeah. And we're like, oh, I should pray about that. And instead of being honest and just saying, I don't want to go, which would have been honorable to say, right? We say things like, I don't think that the Lord is leading me in this.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, just be real. You probably didn't pray about it.
Right.
Your mind was already made up. Right. You don't want to go. Just be honest. Say you don't want to go. And I think we're willing to be vulnerable in other ways. Like, I think, like, maybe, you know, you go on 2 dates with a guy, and you're like trauma dumping, but you're with your discipler and it's 2 years and you're like, I'm not even going to tell you this or that, the other, right? And the one would bring freedom and the other brings, like, hurt, you know? And so I think, like, as Christians, I'm speaking, like, to the Christians, like, let's stop playing the Christian card sometimes.
Yeah.
And just call it as it is. And it's okay if you're like, I'm not ready to be vulnerable, then just say that, right? Like, and but I think if let's not be people who are, like, talking out of both sides of our mouth, where it's like, I'm not willing to be vulnerable, but I'm vulnerable in unhealthy places,
right,
but I'm not willing to be vulnerable in real places.
Right.
Or, like, you know, things like that. I think let's just be honest. And even being honest in that is a step of vulnerability.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, so good. So powerful. So powerful. I hope that all who are listening just feel challenged. Feel challenged in being more vulnerable. If you have been, you know, halfway vulnerable but not fully vulnerable in your relationships, I pray that this would just be a challenge for you. I pray that you would feel challenged in your relationship with the Lord, that if there have been some things that maybe you're God, you can't touch this stuff that I haven't yet brought to your attention, but this stuff is what I'll give to you. I pray that you would just go all in.
Yeah.
Go all in. Be real and raw with the Lord, because He knows it all anyways. He knows all of you. That's good. So I pray that you would just be challenged. Nicole, I just want to thank you so much for your heart, for your passion, for your leadership and your relationship with me. There was so much wisdom in this that I am like, I'm going to go back and watch this over and take notes while I watch it, because you just spoke so much wisdom and challenged me myself. So thank you so much.
It's been an honor being with you. I am so excited for you. I am so excited for Set Apart. And I love to see how you're walking out your calling.
This is just the start. It's so good already.
So good.
So good. So good.
Awesome. I'm excited, girl.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Set Apart. My prayer is that it was able to speak to your heart in a new and fresh way. If you want to continue to journey with us, make sure to subscribe to the channel so you don't miss out on all things Set Apart. And if this video impacted you, please like the video and comment below. Let us know what spoke to your heart and how we can be praying for you. See you next time.